welcome back to Oops! All Anime Gaiden. We're here to tackle the side stories of anime, the stories that perhaps are too brave to tell on our main show. I'm Six Detmar, and joining me, of course, is Olivia Zircon. Olivia, how are you doing?
You know, I'm doing really good. I watched all of Volume 1 of Ruby today for the first time in... Gosh, I think it came out in 2013 or 2014, so half a decade.
And I think we can be the first people to ever discuss Ruby with a truly NPR-like subdued liberal tone.
Yeah, you know, very, very liberal, very reserved over here.
I think we should have rights, but only when it's convenient.
Well, when it's comfortable, you know.
Right.
It has to be a comfortable fit for everybody.
Borderline and, ASMR know, kind of comfortable, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, here on the West Coast, we're the only ones who know how to do that. You know, everybody else just needs to learn from us.
I do have an appreciation, of course, for New York liberals. I don't really know what that phrase means, but I've heard it before, and so I'm repeating it.
Sure. All right, I don't know. I don't know where we're going with this bit.
I was hoping that, like, me saying learning, you could pivot that to, like, okay, the kids in the school in the show, like, but I didn't know how to, like, signal that to you, like, I didn't type that into Discord fast enough, so.
I just lost my composure. I can't be mellow for that long. I'm too excited about Ruby.
I could have kept going, but I just was, like, worried that we were going to start losing listeners.
This is a reasonable concern, because... NPR is losing listeners. Hey! So, we watched all of we've watched a lot more than season one, but...
Yes, we have.
We rewatched season one for the purposes of this show, because we want to talk about what Ruby actually is. Because I feel like people don't know. And that's surprising to me, but I guess it's kind of fair.
Yeah, I think that people have, well, especially now for the reason we were talking about earlier today, Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle, a lot of people have, like, seen Ruby around and been aware that it's a thing of that name, and maybe half of them have known that it's Rooster Teeth production, or what that might even mean.
Mm-hmm. So for those unaware with the history, Ruby is a show currently being run by Rooster Teeth Productions, which are, you know, the Red versus Blue guys, is what you might know them as. It was originally, the original sort of vision for Ruby came from the mind of Monty Ohm, who was a, like, machinima, like, fight sequence crossover person on YouTube. Like, he did the Samus versus Master Chief. And he did, like, what if all the Final Fantasies fought all the dead or alives? Like, it wasn't... I enjoyed those videos at the time, right? They were
fun. I had
fun.
A lot of fun with them. I had a lot of fun with Molly's animations. There was one where Halo, where Master Chief was actually a girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. There's that reveal at the end of that. It's very striking. Mm-hmm. But also, they were never very smart, I think. And that's not, like, I don't mean that as a dunk, it's just sort of like, no, that's just sort of like, okay, let's get into the fight, that, like, all of those videos, I think there was no dialogue. It was just people grunting and attacking each other.
Yeah, it was all efforts.
So, when I heard that he was going to be leading a whole, you know, like, so, there is a discussion as to whether or not Ruby is an anime. I'm taking a stance right now, it's an anime, shut up.
Yeah, no, we're not having that discussion. We're not opening this for discussion. Ruby is an anime.
We're not the discussion cowards.
Yeah.
So, discussion settled. So, when I heard that Monty Ohm was going to be creating and running an anime, I was like, can you tell a story?
Yeah, well, that is going to be an anime, but how much of Rooster Teeth's house style is going to be applied to this anime?
That too.
The ants? We'll get to that.
So the premise of Ruby, it follows, well, first off, we can talk about the titular characters, Ruby, Weiss, Blake, and Yang. So these are the four, like, main characters of the show. It starts with Ruby, who gets involved in a attempted robbery and draws the attention of Beacon Academy, a big academy for training hunters and huntresses, who are people who fight monsters, basically. It's always been Ruby's dream to become one of these, and she wants to go to this school called Beacon Academy, but she's too young, and she's sort of like, okay, I'm just going to work on my skills and get my way there. But with this demonstration of talent, she's able to get their attention and get in 2 years early. She's going to this school, you know, like, skipping a couple of grades. And so this entire first season is basically, like, Ruby going to school alongside her older sister Yang and befriending gradually Blake and Weiss, who are two classmates and fellow huntresses. And it's sort of their, you know, trials at school and learning while also dealing with some slowly growing conspiracy outside with terrorist organizations and thieves. What were your impressions the first time you saw Ruby?
They were really colored by the fact that I was a big Rooster Teeth fan at the time, and I was a big fan of Red vs. Blue, and had watched it all the way through, and therefore seen that it got, like, serious and dramatic, and managed to deliver some serious storytelling eventually, or at least compelling story. And so I had higher expectations for Ruby than what I ended up getting, because I didn't look into it enough to see that the writing team wasn't the same people who had been writing the parts of Red vs. Blue that I liked so much. But every time I got, like, sad about, like, oh, it seems very simple and archetypal, I immediately remembered any of the fight scenes and was, like, immediately cheered up by the fact that, like, especially to me at the time, like, the combat and choreography and everything seemed to have, like, such good pacing and flow and seemed so cool and dynamic in a way that, like, I'd only ever seen in character action games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the animation, I think there are, like, definitely as the series goes on, the animation gets better, because it's kind of, I feel like, In those YouTube videos he used to make, those old fight movies he used to make. By the way, we should mention it'll, you know, we'll mention it at some point, but yeah. Monty Ohm has since passed away. He passed away right before they began work on season 3 of Ruby. So the animation for those fights was always, like, sort of like start and stop, I feel like. Like, the moments of, like, action were always good, but, like, the smaller moments always seemed pretty rough to me. Like, if characters were just, like, standing or, like, shifting their positioning in those animations, it always looked kind of rough. Just, you know, stiff and unnatural, because that's a really hard thing to nail.
Yeah, and I wasn't aware of that at the time. Like, it just didn't process for me. I didn't pick it up. I just wasn't that attentive to animation.
Fair enough. Yeah, for me, that was one of the things that stood out. And it was a situation where, like, I was enjoying Ruby, but it was partially enjoying... a big part of what I like about Ruby is sort of watching them learn how to make a show. Because I think that inexperience and that like, lack of skill at showing, like, the small things translates to, in the early goings of the show, the small moments where, like, you're just having school life looking stiff and off. And it, basically, any time you're not fighting, not just the writing and the acting isn't quite up to snuff, but also just the animation isn't quite there, I feel like.
Yeah, and I noticed that on this time watching through, and I have a theory about part of why that might be the case.
Oh, yeah?
They were making the show week to week, and Rooster Teeth is a company that makes its money based off subscriptions. And so both for budget reasons, possibly, and also for, like, production scheduling reasons, I think that they had episodes and parts of episodes that they intentionally made, like, low effort for, like, what they were going to target for... not realism, but, like... animatedness in the animation and subtlety and where they wanted to target that for bigger plot moments or action choreo. And so it seemed like there was ebbs and flows in the quality when I was watching today, that seemed to follow like a sort of cyclical pattern.
That's interesting. I felt like it was mostly, I mean, like there were definitely moments that I felt like they did, they clearly spent more time and more effort and, as you say, almost like certainly more money on making them look good. But I did feel like in large part that was, like specifically in response to like the fights, right? Like, I don't think even when moments seemed important in the story that they were at school.
Yeah.
I don't feel like any of them ever were really like crisply animated even then, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
And so like, you know, not just the animation, but like as the show goes on, I feel like the writing gets more sophisticated. And I'm not, you know, sophisticated is maybe a heady word to use. I don't think.
Yeah, it's an ambitious word to use here.
Yeah, yeah. It gets more solid, right? I mean, like, they're trying to be, you know, they're trying to just be, like, a fairly,
yeah,
not like summer blockbuster, but kind
of. It gets capable and effective, relatively speaking, at least, to the beginning.
Mm-hmm. And so, for me, part of the experience of watching Ruby is watching their growth, and that's part of what has made me unable to stop watching, is I love to see them get better, and I love to be like, oh, like, I remember they had this problem with, like, crowds. Clearly crowds were hard for them to do last season, and this season they're doing this thing as a trick to make crowds easier. It's like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's definitely something that is the experience of watching it the first time. Which I watched the first three volumes and then, because of an emotional association, didn't keep watching. But I've come around on it now. I'm definitely going to be watching further from one here.
Mm-hmm.
Just seeing even what felt like rises in quality between episode 1 and 16 of volume 1 was definitely a really fun part of the experience sitting down and watching them today.
So, like, what, I don't, this show, like, I don't know, you're not caught up with Ruby, is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, I'm not caught up with Ruby.
It's crazy to go back to me and see a lot of twists later in the show that are being set up now, so I feel like, to a certain extent, I didn't give their writing enough credit. Like, there are things that they hint at here, I'm like, oh, wow, that totally comes up later, and I'd forgotten that they hint about it, like, all the way at the beginning. But like, how compelling are the characters in the story in this first season? You said you mostly watched for the fights. Is that like,
that was the first time around? Well, I mostly watched for the fights. It's just that the fights cheered me on when I felt like I was let down by the writing the first time around.
Mm.
This time around, I did not have that same, like, oh, mostly watching for the fights feeling. I enjoyed the fights. But I was reveling in seeing how effective they were at writing a character, communicating something emotional or logical between the start and the end of season one. Like, it was such a huge, like, jump in writing quality to me, it felt like, from where they started. And so that was the thing that was driving me on the most with watching today.
I mean, the first scene of the first episode, not counting the trailers, there's a trailer for each of the main characters first before they get into the show itself. But the first scene of the first episode of Ruby is a pretty blatant recreation of the opening of the Cowboy Bebop movie.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It's, you know, like Ruby in a store as it's being robbed with her headphones on and not noticing till a thug.
It is.
Yeah, no, it's very and
you know, I watched that like 6 months ago here. I should have. Damn. Wow. All right.
And given that's where they like started,
yeah,
basically. That's the point the show starts from. It's just like, okay, yeah, as you say, like, by the end, the characterization is getting a lot more interesting. They're adding a lot more nuance to these characters. And again, it's never, like, rising to the level. It's not gonna be like one of those shows like Evangelion, where you're like, you have to watch for what they have to say about the human condition or anything, right? Like, no, don't be kidding. But it does have they start to invest in these characters in a way that starts to pay dividends. Let's talk about the four main characters. Obviously, there's, you know, as we mentioned, Ruby, Weiss, Blake, and Yang. How do you like Ruby as a character through this first season here?
I remembered her having a lot more character than she actually had. She had some character in this. There were, like, she had some character moments, but she didn't feel like she had strong personality. She's just, like, plucky protagonist who's got more skill than experience. Mm-hmm. And who has to gain that experience. And, like, she's got the personality that fits that place in the plot. And she gets a couple character moments when she's interacting with people who are going through their character development arcs.
Yeah, I feel like they establish her in that, like, that first episode, yeah. And don't really evolve her past that in the first season very much.
No, and it was weird because I remembered between volume 1 and 3, the first time that I watched, I remembered thinking that, like, Ruby had good characterization, and so mm-hmm. I thought that it must have started in volume 1, and so I was surprised.
Yeah, I think a lot of the characterization in Volume 1 is kind of rough. I feel like the character where I don't necessarily feel that way would be Blake.
Yeah, Blake gets the most characterization, and yeah. They tested it out on Jean first, and then they did it with Blake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jean, I just don't like Jean as a character very much. He's fine. No. Honestly, there should be no boys in this show.
Yeah, absolutely should not. And
What's fuck. Up?
Okay, that boy happens to be voiced by the creator of the show. Or not the creator, but the showrunner now. And the guy who I believe was lead writer even at the start.
Okay.
Yeah.
Doesn't make it not a mistake in my eyes, you know?
Oh, no. No, that's not where I was going. I was going where, like, I can see that having, like, weird ramifications on how the writing gets balanced out.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, I feel like, honestly, part of Jean, like, Jean's purpose in the plot is kind of twofold, right? Yeah. One is he's sort of the audience surrogate because he's vaguely incompetent. And it's sort of like, he's not incompetent, yeah. Like, you know, it is sometimes, like, it is, in fact, often comic relief, but it's never like, oh, he's just so hopeless.
So remember back on the main show when you talked about your CG fanfic. So
yeah.
So I was in the Ruby fanfic community for a while.
Okay.
I no longer have any published work. Every fucking loser who I knew who fucking wrote Ruby fanfic wrote stuff where Jean became the actual main character.
Yeah,
it was the constant. It was just like any male dominated spaces in the fandom. That was mm-hmm. all the fics that people were wrecking, and it was just miserable.
Yeah, no, that was gonna be the other reason. It's like, so he's the audience surrogate. He's the one who's like kind of incompetent, so we can see how this all works and relate. And then, like, of course, there needs to be a boy who's important, and that's kind of what he's got.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all.
No.
I didn't know that, but that is completely... Yeah, like, no, of course. Of course.
Fandoms.
Yep. They're bad.
Yeah, they are bad.
They can do good things sometimes, but, yeah. You know. Weiss doesn't come across very well in this season. I feel like it takes a while for them to figure out... Like, they know what they want Weiss to be...
I'm gonna get burned at the stake. I loved Weiss in this season. Like,
really?
I did not think that she was, like, done any favors, and I don't think that she was, like, a likable or even a good person. Should that be good or even likable? Anyways, but I enjoyed the hell out of her. Like, I had such a good time just, like, enjoying all of her everything. Just, it was so much fun for me.
Well, I've never liked her voice actress, I should say. I've never been a big fan of that voice. The sort of like vaguely like valley girl voice she has in this fantasy setting always rubbed me the wrong way. Though across the board, the voice choices are interesting. I'm not going to say bad. They're just interesting.
Yeah.
And then just like they don't do anything to make her sympathetic in season one, basically. And I even if you want to, the arc
they
to
give
be
her
like,
one moment, they give her one good moment.
Like, yeah, I guess they do. But for the most part, she's just like, no, she's just the rich asshole character.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's, for that, you can have that character, but you need to at least sell me
a
little more.
Yeah, I think the reason I loved it this time is because Weiss was my favorite character after three volumes previously.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's the thing, is it's that previous fondness added to the fact that, like, because I know where it's going, I can enjoy this more. And I think that's what it was.
That's fair. That's fair. She does, like, she definitely gets to a really good place later in the show. I have a problem analyzing Yang, because I just think Yang's the fucking best.
Yang is real good. Like, I mean, first of all, somebody, two very good friends of mine, got me to get Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle, and have both kicked my ass since then in it. And, wait, hold on. Can I have, like, a workplace, like, harassment suit on YouTube, considering that both of my editors have been kicking my ass in BlazBlue?
It doesn't happen at the workplace. So
oh, yeah, you're right. PSN isn't the workplace. Discord is. Okay.
No. If you were ever on an official Scanline stream where we played Crosstag, and I was relentlessly mocking you while beating your ass in with Yang, then you'd have a suit.
Yeah, anyways, I'm in Yang and this girl named Noelle, who I don't know anything about yet, but...
Yeah.
But, yeah. And also, somebody else mains Yang.
Yeah, no, I main Yang as well, because she's just, like, she's a really straightforward character. She's exactly the character that they could have and not have to figure out, because she's just, like, no, she's just, like, a fun... positive, energetic girl with a short temper who kicks the shit out of people.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that's really easy to execute on. What?
Yang is just the archetype of girl that I've been making for like 2 years as tabletop OCs.
Yeah, she's a really straightforward, effective archetype, and it's just like, no, like, shit pops off and she starts punching people with her arms that are also shotguns, and it's like, how can you not like this?
She's a very great girl. When she gets mad, she throws her arms down and flames erupt around her. Cause she goes Super Saiyan, but she's already blonde, so she just stays blonde.
But her hair turns into fire. You're forgetting that part.
Yeah, but that's in the game.
No, that's in the show too.
I was looking for it in this. It was really quick then.
The effect is really subtle.
Yeah.
But yes, she gets flaming hair.
Yeah, and then she flies forward and just lays into motherfuckers, and it's so good.
I feel like this first season generally, it's like, okay, you see the potential. And as, you know, like, when we talked about this beforehand, we originally were going to be like, okay, we're just going to do a full-on spoiler cast. But we're pulling back because we had so many people who were like, should I watch Ruby? This fighting game seems cool. And we want to have an answer to that for you. We want to be helpful. And I guess the questions, like, I'm gonna ask a few questions. I'm gonna ask you if you have any others. But okay. Like, these are the questions I think you should ask yourself if you are thinking about watching Ruby. One, are you willing to put up with some like sloppy like presentation, graphics, and writing at first, as they earnestly figure out how to make a good show? Two. Are you really just on board for some tropes? Because, oh my god, that's all this show is. It is very much
style over
substance.
Season 1, or Volume 1, is exclusively built of tropes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then, 3, can you get over the voice work? Because I don't feel like I should have to include that one, but for some people, they genuinely can't get over the voice work. They're so used to, like, anime dub voice actors, And I think these voice actors mostly do a good job, but they are not dub voice actors. They're doing a different thing. All the characters who are high school girls sound like real high school girls and not adults pretending to be them.
They actually are all adults pretending to be high school girls.
I know, but they don't sound like it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They don't sound like it.
Like Ruby's doesn't sound like, you know, like the sort of anime, like, affectation.
No, Ruby's totally sounds like real.
Yeah, she sounds like the hyper girl you knew in science who was always, like,
doodling
anime in her notebook.
Daisy? Yeah, her name was Daisy. That was
okay.
My classmate Daisy.
Huh. Well, I'm glad I nailed it in one then.
Yeah, no.
So, like, I mean, do you have anything to add? Like, what other things should people be mindful of?
The pacing for the first 14 episodes is that every two episodes are actually one episode. Like, they're marked part one and part two. And you have to be ready for the pacing in what is marked as an episode by start and end credits to not feel like a full episode of television. The other thing that we should say with this show is that, like, episodes are, like, 5 to 15 minutes in length in Volume 1. That's why Volume 1 is 2 hours long. The pacing here is not what you get from your typical anime. And so you have to be just forewarned of that, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. You've got to be ready for it to be a slightly weird viewing experience. And I think they get better at presenting, like, the episodes stay usually under 25 minutes, even going on later into the series. But they start having, like, better self-contained arcs that aren't just clearly, like, chopped in half to be two episodes. But yeah, I really think that the ultimate pitch on this show is watch people get good at making a show and start out not being good at it.
When we were talking about doing Ruby for, like, quite a while, I was like, yeah, you know, I don't even know if Ruby's, like, a good show at all. And I think it's in my notes for episode 6, where I'm like, oh, no, this is good. This is like, a good show. I'm really liking this. Mm-hmm. I am, like, getting something out of this, not just enjoying it mindlessly. Mm-hmm. It takes a second to get there, but the show, like, really starts having something, like, something for you. Once you get past the first little bit.
Yeah, I think we've pretty much said what there is to say without going deep into spoilers. So next time, we're gonna go deep into spoilers.
Yeah, next time we're gonna go deep into spoilers and talk about seeing somebody's first attempt at anime politics.
Oh boy, like, it's gonna be.
Like, I don't know if there was a draft.
Oh, one other thing.
Yeah, yeah.
The music's good.
Oh my god,
it's kind of bad sometimes, but it's also really good.
Oh, the music is very, very good. We might have to talk about using more than one song, because...
You know, I think it's, you know, we'll talk about it.
I think your instincts are probably right. I think intro and outro.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Well, thanks so much, everybody, for listening. We're going into the plug zone now. This is the formal transition into the plug zone.
Formal transition, huh? Yeah.
Indeed.
Formal transition. Ain't that?
Olivia.
Yeah.
Plug your things on the internet.
My things on the internet are my Twitter, which is going to be down in the show notes. And then there will be stuff for me this fall. There will be some... Oh, on my Twitter, there's going to be a lot of Friends of the Table femslash for the next, like, couple weeks. Every day or two, there will be a short story up. So that's something to look for if you're familiar with that fandom or just want to read a variety of lesbian romance with a variety of prompts that maybe doesn't have all the context for you, but is just good fun.
All right, there we go. As far as my stuff, I think there's a bumper. Hooray!
There is a bumper.
All right. I love being able to do that now. Just saying, like, hey, listen to the bumper.
Oh, you didn't say your Twitter.
That's true. That's probably, it's probably for the best, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. I'm at SixDetmar on Twitter. That's SixDetmar. Read my tweets about Street Fighter lore.
Oh my god, your tweets about Street Fighter lore. I just threw my phone on the ground. Oh, they were so good last night. And like, you didn't thread them, and I was just finding them all over the timeline, and it was the best.
Yeah, I might have to do some more of that, because there's some other good lore in Street Fighter.
It sounds like it. Like, you're getting me in the direction of Street Fighter. I'm probably gonna get once I get my fight stick, so.
You gotta get up with that Dangerous President. That's so good! I love
it's
that!
So good. Dangerous President! Yeah, you're gonna have to help me figure out how to play Karen and, maybe Mika, so.
Alright.
Alright.
Looking forward
to it.
We
got another video game talk. Alright.
Talk to you later, buddy.
Listening to a Scanline Media Network podcast. Check out our other podcasts like Bottle Crow Reborn.
So here's the thing, Nick.
Nobody cares.
No.
It's not about that.
You actually convinced me.
Shit.
The Garnet Wager. And immediately we get Yunji being like, so hang on. Why does everyone call Jinho Kong? And Jinho, like, really circuitously explains because they're making fun of me.
Like, it means bean, but it's all, like, small person, and, like, I'm...
Neutral game.
So, if you're averse to frame data, you can still play the game, and it'll just sometimes take longer to figure some stuff out.
Oops, all anime gaiden. I've known some podcasters with taste, and they're all cowards. Let's talk about today's menu.
Oh my god.
For the Emiya family. Operation Cereal.
Episode 4 was a bit more understandable, but also, I continue to sour on these kids. I think they're dicks.
Okay, that's fair.
And our patron-only podcast, Oops All Anime.
And he has the blessed privilege of getting an invite. He shreds it in front of her, looks her in the eye, like, touches
wipes
her face.
Wipes a tear off of her eye.
Wipes a tear off her eye and goes, I'll kill you.
Visit Scanline Media at scanlinemedia.com and our Patreon at patreon.com/scanlinemedia.